Disclaimer: The Good Divorce Podcast is unscripted, authentic conversations with genuine people. Real life is hard sometimes, and that means sometimes these stories may contain content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back to a new listener-supported episode of The Good Divorce Podcast. I'm Tom Kendrick. Thank you for joining me, especially listeners in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Ashburn, Virginia, and Houston, Texas, and internationally from Denmark, South Africa, and Canada. Tonight, I am grateful to hear Beth Behrendt's story and share in her experience of taking a lesser-known path and choosing to use family nesting as the way to move forward with their children's needs first. And now let's take off into the interview with Beth Behrendt. Before I take off into the interview, I'd like to take a moment to make space for anyone who is currently within the process of divorce or just getting started. If you're listening, know that you are not alone. Whatever you might be feeling now is true and valid. You will get through this. It is difficult, and you can do it. Tonight, I'm excited to have Beth Behrendt on the podcast, and I'm sure you're wondering, like I am, who is Beth Behrendt? So, Beth, would you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Sure. I am a mother of three, a divorced mother of three. I'm a freelance writer. I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, after living on the East Coast for quite a while, where our children were born. My ex and I divorced about 8 years ago, and since then we've been doing what's called nesting, or sometimes it's referred to as bird nesting, which essentially means we have kept the kids in our family home all this time, and he and I take turns moving in and out to take care of them.
What would you say is your divorce story?
Yeah, I think our, you know, divorce story probably started out like most people's. We were married for 18 years, which may be unusual for divorce, but it was a long time. And we had, you know, struggled with issues through the years. And meanwhile, having three children, had really, you know, tried at different times to fix things, but kept not really getting things fixed. And ultimately, I was probably the motivator in this decision, but felt that our not great marital dynamics were affecting our parenting, and thought that it would probably be best for all of us if we ended the marriage part of our relationship. But we obviously had the children to consider.
Similar to my own experience, I was married for 16 years. So that familiar with that timeline and what you're speaking to there. Define what good means for your situation.
Well, I think for us, the decision to nest was, you know, at the time solely driven by a desire to keep things as consistent for the children and low stress. And that has been the case. I think the divorce has hardly affected their lives at all. But some unexpected good also came out of this situation that I probably hadn't realized at the time we first started talking about it. And I can go to more detail later, but just to touch on, I think it has been much better for us financially than a traditional divorce would have been with three children. And it also has been good for the two of us, our relationship. We are good parents together and good friends, not great romantic partners. And it's been good for our extended family, therefore, that, you know, there isn't stress with them visiting us or talking to the other person. So those three things are the biggies, I guess.
I can see, particularly with the, as we'll get into more detail about what nesting is, how that could be a help with the financial situation. Like myself, the parenting part was a key aspect that, from my own experience, we recognized was something that was always good and wanted to be able to maintain that. So something that I'm sure many people also recognize and can move forward with. You've mentioned this concept of nesting or bird nesting, and that was something that I believe I had read in a book about parenting between two homes or something like that. But that particular book didn't go into a whole lot of detail about what that was, what that could look like. So to start off with, would you explain for the listeners what you would define what family nesting is?
Sure. I think the core thing of nesting is that the children stay in one home. They don't go back and forth between two homes. There are a variety of ways that people make that happen that range from the two exes continuing to live in the same home, perhaps, you know, one in the guest bedroom, all the way to the two exes have married other people and live in other houses, but take turns coming in and out, plus all the range of different things that could happen between that. And I must say that when I first started this, you know, 8 years ago, probably like you, I saw it mentioned in a divorce book, Laura Wasser's book, It Doesn't Have to Be That Way, which was mostly about financial and broader relationship stuff, but there was a little bit about co-parenting by nesting, you know, a page or so. And it just really struck me how appealing that sounded. And at the time, there was very little out there about it. And so my ex and I really just sort of forged ahead. Our attorney had never heard of it, but fortunately, my attorney was willing to, you know, see if he could make it work for us and yet protect me in the meantime. I think another aspect of nesting is that many people do it, you know, for a short period of time, maybe agree to try it for 6 months or a couple of years or something. We didn't set up an end to ours, and we don't know for sure when it'll end. Now it's been 8 years. I mean, our youngest will go away to college in 5 years yet. So likely we will keep forging ahead till he goes away to college. But, you know, something may come up where it just doesn't make sense anymore. But for now, we're committed to it. And I think whatever length of time people can try it for helps the kids.
I can definitely see, and as we'll get into some more stuff, how that will be helpful for the kids and even perhaps the parents involved. It sounds like you didn't know of anyone else using this at the time when you got started. So, no. Okay. What would you say were your greatest challenges in getting started?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I didn't know anybody else doing it. And the only example given in that book was, you know, some rich people in California, you know, who had three houses or something that they made it work with. So we just kind of had to figure out the financial stuff. But it seemed, even from our initial conversations, that this had to be a cheaper option than somehow figuring out a way to have two houses that could support three children plus all their stuff and keep them in the same school and have the same friends were benefits too. But just the pure finances of it, not having to duplicate all their stuff and not needing a second home was definitely appealing. But, you know, the challenge was kind of sitting and doing those numbers and figuring out if it really made sense. The other challenge, of course, was emotional, because divorce, no matter, you know, how contentious it might be or not contentious, there's a lot of emotions. And so I imagine even if you weren't doing nesting, just trying to figure out what you're going to do moving forward and having to talk to this person that you have such strong emotions toward is difficult. So those were probably the hardest, hammering out the finances and dealing with our own separate emotions as we attempted to keep our kids, you know, not exposed to that, but keep working together, even though we didn't always want to work together, but trying to work together to do the best for our kids.
Yes, I've thought for myself that it seems that divorce is mostly the legal transaction, and there needs to be a different term for, you know, the other emotional stuff that happens almost. Those are some understandable challenges, and good of you to be always considering your own kids as you know, were facing those challenges. So what would you say are your greatest rewards in following through with your family nesting now?
Oh gosh, there are quite a few. I did want to go back to that last question a little bit, that what my ex and I did find helpful to do was sometimes when we felt like, oh, this is going to be too hard, or we're not going to be able to figure it out. One or the other of us would inevitably say, well, who's going to suffer if we don't figure this out? It's like the kids are the ones who are going to have to deal with what we can't figure out. And so that was a big motivator for keeping the move forward. And I think then that leads into one of the positives of this experience is that because we both, you know, had to kind of commit that we were going to figure it out, I think we both have a lot of pride in the fact that we have done it. And, you know, after kind of a year or two, when we really kind of got, you know, the bumps out, and then you can't help but feel really, you know, kind of proud of yourself and proud of the other person that you've managed to do this. You know, we were happy with the way our relationship was. It didn't change, you know, how we felt about each other, but it did make us, I think, get along better than we would have otherwise. So that's just thinking about Bill and myself, how we have evolved through the benefits of the nesting. But I don't know if you want me to talk more about what I think it's done for the kids or whatever you'd like to explore.
Yeah, why don't you go into a little bit more on what you might have found as benefits for your kids and those things.
I think, you know, it's, even though I brought it up, I think it is a little bit hard to measure because it's not like your children, you know, are really paying attention to what you do unless it upsets them. And so I think the fact that their lives have stayed really pretty easy and that they never mentioned the divorce as something that's stressful or, you know, the relationship between their dad and I does not cause them any stress. And so I take that, you know, as just a reassuring sign, even though, you know, they don't say, thanks, mom, thanks, dad, for all that hard work. I will say that, you know, early on in the first couple of years, I did have a family therapist that they saw. They were 12, 9, and 5 at the time we divorced. So, you know, I wanted a neutral party who could give me feedback on how they were doing. And they would see her occasionally through the years, kind of driven by, they liked seeing her, but I would set up regular appointments just so I, you know, could touch base with her. And after, you know, a year or so, she said, well, I can tell you that your kids, you know, have the stress of other kids their ages, the preteens and the teenage stuff, she said, but they have never once mentioned the divorce as something stressful in their lives. And she said, I have never counseled, you know, children of a divorce who don't mention the divorce at some point. And so that was a really, you know, rewarding thing to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah. That I'm hopeful that in some way that I can find out the same for our own kids. I feel like we've managed to do a fairly good job of keeping that stress away from them. So congratulations to you for that. That's definitely a reward for sure. You had mentioned you wanted to get back to some of the challenges again.
Yeah, some of the other challenges, of course, are, especially initially, were other people's reactions to it. I think it's become more common in the 8 years, but it's not, you know, super common. So there was a lot of, you're doing what? Why are you doing? That's crazy. How are you going to do that? Why would you do that? And so that was a bit of a challenge to feel like, you know, you're already kind of doing something risky and you're not sure is going to work. And then there weren't a lot of people. There were some people, but there weren't a lot of people who were really, you know, cheering for us. I think they were waiting for it to, you know, go up in a firing ball. But we forged ahead. And then kind of related to that, I think it was confusing for people because the mindset, you know, has been for so long that divorce means like you're done with that other person, and friends feel like they have to pick sides or they can only, you know, come to your house at certain times. And we were still like doing the kids' birthday parties together, you know, talking to each other all the time. And I think some people felt a little confused about like, am I supposed to hate him and not, or I'm supposed to listen to what you're saying and support you? And, you know, that's nobody's fault. Divorce has a very kind of set formula in this country still, but I think anybody who's doing whatever form of nesting, if they're, you know, trying to be good to each other and not stress out their children, that it's still a little bit confusing to other people because they still go back to the old formulas of, you know, you're just done with that person. And it just can't be that way when you have kids.
Right. It really can't. I think it's helpful too that there's kind of separate legal process, that the collaborative process for myself. We just happened to happen into it more than anything because we had not heard of it ourselves. I would say that with that type of process, at the start of it for the legal aspect, that would certainly seem like a good help for people who want to then move into a nesting situation, because they're not getting into the legal battle right away.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know, you know, every state is different. And in Indiana at the time, we couldn't get a divorce just, you know, with a mediator. We had to have an attorney and something, they had to file something in the court. So I think it depends where you live and how you can go about it. But I do feel like some states definitely have a more, you know, are working hard to help people get to a common ground. So that's definitely a change, you know, like from the 80s and 90s, when I don't think it was ever that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What type of divorce situation do you think is going to find the most success with family nesting?
Well, I think I've heard of some people. I have, as I mentioned to you earlier, there's a Facebook group called Family Nesting that's private. And there's probably about, I think there's close to 300 of us now from around the country and around the world. And so I have heard of some people who've had very, very contentious divorces and have still found a way to make nesting work. Often they do something where there's really no interaction in the home. It's very much a, you know, and they're very set rules, whereas we're kind of more loosey-goosey and we overlap in the home a lot and stuff. So I don't want to rule out, you know, that if you're having a bad divorce that you can't do nesting, because I think that there are ways of putting in, you know, rules and finding ways to communicate where you can make that work. I think it works more easily if there is some trust of the other person. And certainly if you feel comfortable that they can parent the children without you. There are people who still, you know, make that work when they have some doubts about the other person. And there are people who have seen the other spouse really step up and be able to become a good parent when they're forced to do it on their own. But it's certainly something you want to consider from the beginning. You know, will my kids really be okay with this person on their own, doing the parenting on their own? Or do we need to, you know, implement some modified system? I know some nesters, where they do stay in the house together, that there are certain tasks that they have, you know, decided, like the dad likes to cook, but he cannot deal with homework and doctor's appointments. And so, you know, they divide up their responsibilities that way. And people are, it is amazing to me how creative people get to make this work. But in our case, I think we had a basic trust of each other, certainly trusted that each of us could be good with the kids on our own. And maybe it helped that we had been married so long that we had, you know, this community of friends and each of our families that we really wanted our children to get to know. And our children had, you know, known them for a while already, and we wanted that to continue for them. So those are some pluses. Of course, if there's something like, you know, abuse or addictions, that's a much more complicated situation. And you, I guess, as always, foremost, you have to think about what's best for the kids.
Yeah, definitely. And that's interesting to hear that in that your Facebook group community, that you've seen people who have kind of started out with difficult roads in front of them and have been able to either mend their own ways or just figure out ways to make it work. That's interesting. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's needed. Given that it's could be called family nesting, to what extent did you involve your children in the decision at all?
You had sent me this question in advance, and the short answer is no. we did not involve them at all. As I said, the oldest was 12. I don't know. You know, perhaps if your children were older, you would probably want to, you could run the idea by them. For us, it was more of an announcement that we used it to buffer the announcement of the divorce, that, you know, we sat them down and we'd been kind of separating. I'd been living at my parents' house a bit to kind of just get them used to the idea of us not both in the house at the same time. But when we told them we were getting divorced, we were able in that same conversation to say, but things aren't really changing for you. You know, you're staying right here in this house. Neighborhood, friends, same school, same rooms, same stuff. We're, you know, dad and I'll just move in and out and take care of you. And so it was really more just kind of a announcement to them. I guess over time, I don't know that we've really, I mean, we certainly give them a heads up about changes of schedule and things like that. And I guess if there were any issues that they had with it, of course, we would bring them into a conversation about it. But that hasn't been the case so far.
Do you have any recommendations for people about kind of the financial aspects of nesting and or I guess how did you go about it in more detail? Did you use a
Yeah, this is that's a good question. And we really didn't do anything particularly set in stone, besides, beyond what the court state guidelines were for the financial support of the children and the time that we were each allotted to give them. But we did have sort of a thing we wrote out about different responsibilities for finances, and then we and that's evolved over time. But I think we probably wish we would have hammered out some stuff earlier on. And I'll tell you from this Facebook group and from my own experience, the things that come up a lot are just household expenses, like how are we splitting the groceries? Are you eating my groceries, or am I, are you feeding the kids what I bought, or am I supporting you taking them to McDonald's? It's just it doesn't seem like huge stuff, but it can become pretty huge stuff. And then certainly with the home as well, there can be a lot of issues about, who pays for the gas and the lawnmower, who makes sure the sprinklers get turned on, or the, whatever thing around your house needs taking care of. And so we've had to do some hammering about of that through the years. I think it's been fine, and I think we've done a good job. So I hesitate to tell people that they have to have it all spelled out exactly, because I think things evolve. But I think you certainly should think about what are these house expenses? What are the things that we're both spending money on for the kids? And if it's not spelled out in your divorce settlement, you should give it a talk and make sure you both feel like it's fair, or agree to revisit it every 6 months or something. I think that would be a good approach. We've been a little more haphazard in that, but anyway, we've made it so far. But yeah, that would be my advice, is maybe a little better plan than what we have.
So it sounds like you just kind of worked through that on your own. You didn't have necessarily a planner or somebody that you worked with.
No, we didn't. And I think some people have been able to do that, have their attorney play that role, or I haven't really heard anybody in the group mention like a financial advisor. It seems to be something that's more done with their mediator or their attorneys. It's certainly worth talking about with whatever professional's helping you.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to explain that stuff that's just your house and your kids, and just keep an open mind, I guess. But be open to continuing to talk about it for as long as you last.
Right. Yeah. It would definitely be something that would be evolving over time, for sure. For myself and kids' mom, we have our separate homes, but as far as kids' expenses go, we tried to keep track of, I bought this or she bought that or whatever, and it seems like over time it's come that it almost works itself out on its own, which is interesting that
Yeah, I
that can
think you're
happen.
right. And I think that there's sometimes, depending on the parents, you kind of fall into the, well, it just makes sense for me to worry about groceries and for you to worry about clothes. And then, yeah, if there's, we kind of have like a monthly reckoning, we call it, where we just sort of spell out, the expenses that are out of the ordinary, and just sort of see if we're squaring up okay.
Yeah. So I think I'd kind of want to move into a little bit more of your personal experience with divorce. Were there any resources that you wished you had as you went through it?
I definitely at the time wished that there were, articles and books about it. Before I was a writer, I was a librarian. So it's just, in my nature to immediately start researching whatever thing I'm trying to figure out. And there was nothing. But fortunately, there's a lot now. A lot of articles. You can, go to my familynesting.org website, and there's referrals to other things. But there's a lot of articles about it, but still not a great amount of resources. I mentioned to you that I've just started working on a book to tell my family's story and hopefully give people some guidelines or suggestions about how they can make it work for themselves. But what I did do, and I guess I would probably advise anybody going through divorce, is I had a great therapist who I saw, on my own. And fortunately, she was very supportive of the fact we were nesting, and happy to talk about it. And so, I think keeping yourself strong through the whole thing, whatever that might entail, whether it's exercising regularly, if a church is helpful to you or meditating, that you really have to keep that a priority as well. And it's hard to do when you're so caught up in so much to do and so much stress. And so that's why for me, I particularly liked having the therapy appointments, because it just sort of, you know, I knew that was coming every 2 weeks, and I'd sort of save up the things I was stressed out about and then be able to, you know, talk to her about them. So I definitely would recommend that. And yeah, just, you know, do some research. There's a lot more out there than there used to be, fortunately for other people.
Yes, there sure is. I wholeheartedly agree with therapy. That's definitely something that I used and continue to use. And prior to this, I would never have necessarily thought I needed it, having gone through that acute situation first and then just continuing on with it. It's unfortunate that the country does not have as great a mental health system as we could. I'm of the opinion that everybody needs a good therapist. So,
right. I agree as well. And I do think there's a change, you know, that it used to have sort of a stigma to it. I think that's changing. But, you know, as you said, it helps you get through the very difficult, traumatic times. But as you mentioned, I still do see her when I need to, you know, when I just feel like I'm too much in my head and I need a completely neutral party to talk to. And, you know, you really don't have that in your life except for a therapist. So yeah, everybody go get a therapist.
Yeah, definitely. And then I guess as far as speaking of resources, tell listeners about the Facebook group that you've started.
Yeah, you can find it on Facebook by searching for Family Nesting, and it's a private group. So, you know, even if you're just thinking about divorce, you don't have to worry about other people seeing that you've joined this group, and you don't have to, you know, participate if you don't want to. But there are people from other countries too, but it's primarily the US. And it's just so great to see people ask these questions and hear of these, you know, situations that I hadn't even thought of, and then see how the other people either can relate to it, or at least, you know, give some sympathy or some understanding to it, or you know, give their perspective because they're several years down the line. And even like today, there was some talk about, okay, we know we're going to end our nesting. What's the best way to do that? And I thought, oh, that's a really good, yeah, that's a good thing to talk about, because that's a change for all of you as well, from the financial through the emotional aspect. So I really am proud of that, how helpful those people are to each other. And so yeah, that's there. And then my own website has kind of the stuff I write about and the blogs I write about from my own perspective. And I write for Divorce Magazine too, which has their blog on the internet. And so it's super easy to search tons of articles there, but you can put in nesting and my name and my specific stuff will come up, but there's lots of other useful divorce related resources there.
Yeah, very good. It seems like it's taking people like us to put our stories and things out there to really be helpful for others. And so it's great that you've created this Facebook group resource, and I think hopefully listeners will be looking forward to your book when it's published as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I did want to mention something that just hit me as you were saying that one of the things that really motivated me to want to share this story was I knew I wanted to do it for my kids, but what started to really surprise me and motivate me to get the message out further was the number of people that I would describe what nesting was. And if they were children of divorce themselves, their reactions were so strong, saying like, oh, I wish my parents would have done that. Like, I had no idea that was something people could do. And so, and these were grownups, you know, kind of tearing up or just really, you know, being very supportive in their response. And so that kind of motivated me even more to think, well, you know, I know I'm not the only one. Let's try and get together and share the message further.
Yeah, sounds like that was a great motivator for myself in this podcast here. I got to a point where, you know, I was feeling like I had gotten the assistance I needed from the places I looked for my resources, you know, online and through therapy. And so I just felt a need to give back to the community. And so I'll say thank you and for being one of those to do that as well. So
Well, thanks to you too, because I do think it, anything we do to, you know, for the idea of a good divorce, you know, really builds our kids up and lets them know, you know, that we still honor that whole relationship that brought them into the world. And we're doing our best to, you know, respect and show them how much they mean to both of us.
Yes, for sure. There's definitely a need for, it seems, for some better consideration of, you know, what the family is and will be and all that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you, as you mentioned, you've been doing your nesting for 8 years now. How have you navigated any new relationships for yourself?
Fortunately, I have a boyfriend who's very supportive. He has a child as well and has gone through a divorce. So he appreciates, you know, the importance of doing whatever you can for your kids. A lot of people ask me about dating, if it's even possible when you're nesting. And I would, you know, it's the same as if you're just regularly divorced, that there's, you know, time when you're not with the kids. And that's when you can schedule your dating thing, you know, and I think that there's no need to force that on your kids any sooner than absolutely necessary. Maybe the one piece of advice I would give people is that when I did start dating, I really felt that, you know, in the very first date, I would bring up what I was doing because it's very important to me. And I wanted the other person to be okay with that. And I wanted them to understand, you know, that it wasn't about me trying to get back with my ex, or it was not about that at all. It was definitely just about the kids. And unfortunately, I had, you know, overall good experiences, but I think that, you know, that may not always be the case. And if that's so, then, you know, that's a good way to weed out. If that's maybe not the person for you, if they have a problem with you putting your kids first. So I would suggest if you are in it, you know, don't hide it, or don't, you know, think that maybe it shouldn't come up early on, because I think the earlier the better.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice. And I think too, in general, being open about what's happening early on is, I mean, as you said, it's a way to see if that other person is going to be on board with that, or if that's going to be potential for future conflict instead. And that, particularly with nesting, and, you know, that's a really strong choice of children first, that that's certainly something that needs to be known so that it can be discussed and make sure it's understood and all that, like you said. So before I get into my closing questions, what advice do you have for people considering family nesting for themselves? How can they make sure they'll succeed? Do you have any way to define a metric for success?
Well, I guess the first thing would be to maybe don't feel like you have to have it all exactly figured out to start. You know, if you can sort of think of the basic things that will keep your kids content and happy, you know, focus on that and go from there. But at the same time, I think it's good to have an eye to the future. And for example, you know, I often thought, like, this is hard right now, but when, you know, one of my kids is graduating college or getting married, Bill and I can be there together and everybody's comfortable with that. And we're all happy to be together. Like, that is my end goal. And, you know, I wasn't sure exactly how we were going to get there, but that was my goal. And I think we're well on, you know, on the way to that goal. So yeah, it's a little bit of being, maybe having your vision, but being focused in the right now, what do I need to figure out right now? And I think the biggest then kind of metric to base your success on is, how are your kids doing? You know, if it is, there may be some reason that it causes them stress, and, you know, maybe it'd be helpful to talk to a therapist to help them figure that out. Or, you know, maybe even if you can just listen to, you know, what specifically is it that's causing them stress or sadness, and see if you can make some adjustment to help them. So I think it's always kind of going back to, how are the kids doing?
I like how that sounds. And I would agree that nesting or otherwise, checking in with how your kids are doing is certainly advisable, and that's something that you want to continue to do. And so that if there is something that's potentially coming up, that, you know, you can be aware of it and adjust as necessary. So I think that's good advice. So I'll get into my last three questions here. Having just thought through and spoken about your own divorce experience, since this is the Good Divorce Podcast, do you feel your divorce was good in your definition?
Yeah, so far, you know, I think it's always going to be part of our lives. But I think it has helped Bill and I to get along better because we're interacting in front of the kids and we're always thinking about what's best for the kids. And I think the kids, as I mentioned with the therapist story, I think that the divorce has not been something stressful in their lives. They've had the consistency of always being in the same place, not forgetting stuff at school or, you know, having to drive between two places to get things. And it's been lower stress, I think, for Bill and myself as well, because we're not juggling, you know, two households and three kids worth of stuff. There's been a lot of good that's come out of it. I have never once regretted it, even when it's sometimes harder than other times, but I'd do it again.
All right. That does sound good. Do you have, you did mention one book. Do you have any other book or author or other resource that you found most helpful that you could recommend?
I mean, for me personally, it was really just the one book. It doesn't have to be that way because that was all that was out there that I could find at the time. But in 8 years, there's a lot of resources out there. And I hope people will, if they're interested, you know, visit my website and there's a mailing list so you can find out when the book is coming out. It should be next spring. And, or if you'd like to join the group and get some personal advice from folks, that would be awesome too. So those are my, the biggies, I guess.
All right. And you preempted my last question.
How can
it's fine. How can listeners stay connected and engage with you? You've got the Facebook group, you've got your website. Yeah. So very good.
Yeah, the website is called familynesting.org and my name's Beth Behrens. You can Google me too and see my articles that I've written. So and feel free to reach out. I mean, there's a link right on my website that I'm happy to just, if you just want to ask me a question, that's awesome too. You don't have to join the group or whatever. I'm happy to connect with people in whatever way they're comfortable with.
All right, very good. Yeah, and I'll include links and things in the episode description and stuff like that so people can get to those easily enough. So,
cool.
All right. Well, Beth, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me and share your story of a good divorce on the Good Divorce Podcast. It's great to hear others' stories, and I'm just really grateful that you decided to be a part of this. So, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. You keep up your good work too. Great job.
All right. I will. Thank you. If you'd like to have more frequently released stories, make sure you share this podcast with others. And contact me if you have a story to share or know someone who does. Please check out the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook for additional information or email your guest suggestions to gooddivorcepodcast@gmail.com. Everyone has a story to tell, and I would love to hear and share yours. Together, we can find and live the good in a tough situation. If you've enjoyed this episode and others, I hope you'll consider a contribution to help support the creation of this podcast. This podcast will remain advertisement-free. You can contribute using PayPal at tkendrick179 or Venmo at tomkendrick. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Good Divorce Podcast. To learn more, please find the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook. You can also find other social media posts on Instagram at Good Divorce Podcast and on Twitter at Divorce Good. I hope you've enjoyed this story. Together we can find and live the good in a tough situation.